when yes, the money's amazing, but it really is the other aspect of this. It's the relationship. It's the sense that you've got a supporter and someone nurturing you that is going to make the difference in your career.
This is The Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener.
Hi, this is Kate Durge, and welcome to the Safari Podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to interview my dear friend, Peter Arnold, Executive Director of Fashion Scholarship Fund. The Fashion Scholarship Fund is the nation's foremost fashion-oriented education and workforce development nonprofit. The FSF identifies and fosters the next generation of fashion industry talent across design and product development, merchandising, marketing, analytics, and business strategy disciplines. Peter talks in our safari about the future being so bright for the fashion industry and how FSF is offering the means and mentorship not only to enter, but for individuals to thrive in the industry. I'm thrilled to be able to interview Peter, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. So Peter Arnold, Executive Director of Fashion Scholarship Fund, what a pleasure it is to have you on the Safari Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Kate. The pleasure is all mine.
Oh, well, you're too sweet. Where are we finding you today? You're looking very handsome.
You're finding me in my home office in leafy Montclair, New Jersey, but our true offices are in Times Square, 1501 Broadway. So that's where you would normally find me on a weekday.
Well, considering it's 90 degrees and muggy in New York City, you're happily in your home office.
I made the mature decision to sit at home and jump in the pool from time to time.
It was a smart decision. And for our listeners today, I have to say this is one of the most anticipated conversations that I will have because Peter is a very dear, dear old friend. So it feels like we're sitting at lunch together, minus a cocktail or two, and about to dive in, not a pool, but
I'm going to pour you a virtual glass of rosé and then start.
Perfect. All right. This is a perfect time and way to launch into what our conversation. But I will say, Peter, you know, for our listeners also, Peter and I have known each other a long time and it feels like life has come full circle because when we first met in your non-linear path of your career, it was at the CFDA and we began our relationship in building out what was to become the Swarovski Emerging Talent Award, Swarovski being my client back then and you being the president of CFDA and building that out. And what I just want to say to our listeners is that, you know, Peter's the can-do guy and truly he has been the supporter of emerging talent since day one, since certainly I've known you. But why don't we dive in there, Peter, and talk a little bit about your non-linear career.
That no one else should try to emulate. Yes. Sure. And Kate, remember, you and I put together the Swarovski Award for Emerging Talent, and the winners, in addition to getting lots of things, got $20,000 worth of Swarovski crystals they could use.
Yes, and they bedazzled.
It was a bedazzling partnership that we put together.
Very much sparkling partnership from day one.
But, you know, the notion of full circle, I mean, the one linear aspect, I think, to what I've done since my days on Wall Street as a lawyer is work with young talent, you know, in various guises from various places in the industry. But, you know, I've always been invested in developing young talent through the lens that I had as a lawyer first and then businessman next, making sure that, you know, the talent that we find, that it's often wildly creative, but not so able to execute on the promise of taking a creative thought or an aesthetic and turning it into a viable business. So that's really been my, you know, personal aim, and sometimes during my career, a professional one. And that really led me to the CFDA and to starting the work there of supporting the talent that are, you know, the cadre of American designers that are members of the CFDA, but also kind of the next generation of folks that were meant to become members of the CFDA. And so that's really when this commitment I had, a personal one, turned into the CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund. And we really created something that was missing from the American fashion industry, which is a bit more infrastructure for young talent. And so really funding young talent, giving it mentoring, creating an opportunity to get a significant financial award and a team of mentors. And back then, you know, I think it's 20 plus years ago, starting, and I just did my own podcast with Jack Culloch and Lazaro Hernandez from Proenza. They were the first recipients of the CFD Vogue Fashion Award, but it was, you know, Tom Brown was a participant. You know, lots of folks went through that, and I'm happy, you know, turned what was a nascent business or idea into something that's, you know, was scaled and turned into a really successful career.
And to think about the impact that that had on so many of those designers, I mean, and where they are today, but that really was the beginning. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, okay, philosophically, you, as I said, you cannot make it on the basis of your creativity alone. You do need the partner, you need the mentor, you need the guidance, the connections. The fashion industry is incredibly nurturing. I think it really is a community that most times wants its members to succeed. So, but you really do need to be thoughtful about putting together a network of supporters, funders, advisors, mentors, or it is going to be really, really hard. And you probably aren't going to get there as easily or as quickly, or maybe at all, without, you know, this notion of who can be in my world that can nurture, guide me along the way.
And I think that's what's so amazing, Peter, about your career and what you've seen and the takeaways from these different experiences you've had, because you had this incredibly successful run at CFDA and what you built there, and then went on to continue to support young talent and brands and seen sort of that holistic view of, you know, what does it take to make a brand successful? Because then you went on to these different brands and then to lead you, of course, to Fashion Scholarship Fund. But before we get to Fashion Scholarship Fund, talk about the takeaways from those years between and how that strengthened.
Yeah, the years between, Kate, were spent in the industry. You know, it was one thing to be at the CFDA and talk about the business of fashion, but it's a whole other, you know, world when you are the CEO of a brand and you're engaged in the struggle of succeeding. And so, you know, I was really fortunate to be recruited by a board member at the CFDA, John Barbados, to go to his brand and business at a time when he had just been purchased by VF Corp. So it was a really interesting moment to enter his world and the world of VF. And, you know, as much as I think I was helping John lead the business, I was learning along the way, you know, all these other dimensions of what it means to have a viable, in his case, menswear brand. But, you know, it was time really well spent. It was a perfect marriage of my, you know, years at the CFDA of nurturing talent and then actually being engaged in a one-on-one relationship where I was really trying to build a talent's business. And that, you know, that experience with John led to years of being the CEO of Cynthia Rowley, which was a very different kind of an apparel business, you know, at the time, mainly licensed in terms of the opportunities that we were able to find and the folks we partnered with throughout the world and all channels of distribution. I mean, she at the time was really the, you know, a pioneer of sorts, starting with Target and bringing a brand to unexpected places and unexpected product categories. So that was really exciting for me too. And then following Cynthia, a brand called Quishney and Ox that had a private equity investment, and I then joined as their CEO, designer brand, at a different channel of distribution than Cynthia Rally, where we were really focusing on scaling a business that was small, but with a very exciting aesthetic that people were really responding to. So, you know, lots of three very different experiences that helped in this nonlinear way I have been doing things kind of get me to appreciate, you know, all the dimensions of the fashion business and what young talent or established talent needs to succeed in. And that really then positioned me in a really unique way, I think, for the FSF and what the FSF has been doing and now does, at a time when I was really ready for that next opportunity to do more of what I really love doing, which is work with lots of different young, talented designers and others.
And that's why I say life comes full circle, because here you are. And I love the line. I think you had done an interview once when you were interviewing for this position. They said you're the unicorn candidate, because here you are, so sort of out of the field of those that were expected for the position, but yet you're so perfectly attuned for the position and understanding all aspects of the business and how you bring that to the students and how you evolve this into the modern day FSF. So let's dive in there and tell us a little bit about Fashion Scholarship Fund and how you've led the organization's work today.
Yeah, it's surprisingly, it's an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It was once called the YMA, the Young Menswear Association, founded by a bunch of menswear guys on 7th Avenue, got together for lunch once a week, and then said, you know, maybe we should have some reason why we get together for lunch besides seeing one another. And so they established this organization that gave scholarships to students in a relatively small way for a long period of time. It slowly morphed into a bigger organization, and one when I arrived that included all aspects of the industry in terms of the talent that it sought to find and then award funding to, and then other deliverables that made for a really meaningful experience as a scholar. And so what it is today is a network of 70 plus colleges and universities, the expected fashion schools like MIT and Pratt and Parsons, but lots of public and private colleges and universities in far-flung parts of this country, including 10 HBCUs and 6 Hispanic-serving institutions, which are called HSIs, at which there's a student, a creative student, who wants to get into the industry, but probably for him or her, if you're not at an expected fashion school, the path is not so clear, and it isn't so linear, and it isn't going to be so easy or so swift. So how can we, and we have this sort of rigorous case study competition, how can we, through this competition, find folks who have the talent that deserve the financial award, they deserve a mentor who can be life-changing, they deserve a summer internship that they probably wouldn't otherwise be able to get, or an entry-level position, and they can benefit from all of the more substantive programmatic supports that we provide in the way of workforce preparedness sessions and professional development opportunities. So what we're now able to do every year, we have over 1,200 applicants a year from these schools, is find a cadre of arguably the most promising of that group, 125, that we bring to New York City, many of whom are coming for the very first time, and we sort of showcase what they've done. It's a bit of a very sophisticated science fair, where in that room are the case study submissions kind of blown up in a really dynamic way. And so you, as a industry partner, and our partners are wholesalers, retailers, designer brands, you are meeting this next generation of talent. And I think it's a really basic and yet really profound way of introducing young talent to the industry. And it's that night and the ensuing days thereafter where we seek to, for this 125 member class, find them the mentor very thoughtfully, find them the summer internship or the job, and then really deliver on the promise of staying with them through their journey through school and beyond. Because what we've really learned, Kate, is in that first 3 years, once you've landed your first job, you are often very much in need of more professional development, guidance, mentoring. Yeah. You know, so many of our students land the first job and then they say, I don't think this is what I want to do, but I don't know how to, where do I go now?
Right.
You know, so how do you make sure you're there for them? We now have a very engaged alumni group of maybe 3,000 who are in the industry, who are giving back to the younger class of 2023 and beyond in a really interesting way. So you're starting to create this, you know, I'll call it, it's a talent pipeline, but you're supporting it in a way, in an unbroken way, if you use the pipeline, that I think leads to serve the industry quite well. And I think the other dimension of this is, at a time when our industry is talking about underrepresented talent, and it's probably not as easy to find underrepresented talent at expected fashion schools for so many reasons, more than half of our applicants are BIPOC, more than half of our winners are BIPOC. So we actually have, in this cadre of talent, a very well-represented group of underrepresented, talented creatives that we can bring forward. And so I think that's what our corporate partners are really excited about, that we're on the ground at these colleges and universities, finding diverse talent and bringing it into the industry.
It's incredible. So talk to us a little bit about how do you do that? What does that process look like? Because I love the idea of you're supporting these young talents, but to your point, you know, you're following them through and making sure they're in the right place, that they're getting the most out of these experiences. But talk to us a little bit about your partners and what does that process look like to make those the right connections?
Yeah, I mean, the good news now is, as I mentioned, our partners are certainly on the regional side, everybody from Neiman Marcus Group to TJX and everybody in between. So with those supporters are come underwritten scholarships to a designated cadre of student talent, but then an internship at that company, a mentor from that company. So you start to really deepen the connection between the company and the students that we work for. And what it's really leading to are really exciting opportunities, especially now with partners like LVMH, where through their maison, they can offer opportunities from, we've got students this summer at Loewe in Paris, we've got students at Tiffany. You know, we've got students in a lot of different positions that they would not have been able to arrive at as easily, if at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's really exciting that our partners appreciate the kind of or the caliber of student that we're finding for them. And they, in turn, are providing the opportunity and the mentoring. And when I talk about mentoring, like what we've really learned, Kate, is it's great to have an opportunity to meet a senior level executive somewhere, but it's also as meaningful, if not more so, to have a near peer mentor. Mm-hmm. So someone who is just in the industry with whom you can be more candid about your struggles and your concerns. And so we're really trying to be more thoughtful about what mentoring is. And you know, some one of our partners said it's more like sponsorship. And I think if you're really a committed member, a committed mentor, you're committed to being that scholar's sponsor in terms of his or her career opportunities, because you're going to be in the room where a decision may be made, not a young student or first year employee. So how do you advocate for him or her? And I think that really comes into play with underrepresented talent, especially with Black talent. That's why Virgil Abloh came to us. He loved the model of what we were doing. He wanted to be very prescriptive and establish a scholarship fund just supporting Black talent. So we, with Virgil, created his Virgil Abloh Postmodern Scholarship Fund, which just focuses on Black talent, which often in our industry may find its way into a position, but can be very, very challenged to succeed. And, you know, a lot of our corporate partners are saying they're finding talent, underrepresented talent more successfully, but they are not retaining it. So the challenge is, how do we create with our partners a safe environment? And by that, I do mean a culture that's welcoming, a culture that where you come as a young Black employee, you see people that look like you in levels at that company that you want to aspire to. You have mentors that you can relate to. It's really, it's hard but very basic work. But I think we're starting to be a bit of a facilitator and a connector with a lot of folks who are out there with the same thought in mind.
It's incredible. Tell me a little bit more about the Virgil Scholarship, because I think, when was that launched? How has that grown?
I think it was 2.5 years ago, Virgil came to us with this idea. And, like with most things that he wanted to do, he wanted them done quickly.
Right.
And I think, now looking back, you wonder how much he might have imagined that he wasn't going to be around forever and that he wanted to accomplish as much as he possibly could in so many different spheres.
Yeah.
Art, music, design. But for us, particularly, as he often said, the 17-year-old version of myself. So Virgil did not go to a fashion school. Virgil was first generation Ghanaian. There is no way his parents, like many immigrant parents and families, they don't see the fashion industry as a way forward. They want their child to be a doctor, a lawyer,
right,
an engineer,
yeah,
for all good reasons. So Virgil went to the University of Wisconsin. He was an engineering major. He studied architecture, and he had a lot of hurdles. And his point to us was, I want to remove as many of those hurdles as I can so that the 17-year-old version of me doesn't face what I face in the way of challenges. And I think we have so many students, especially students of color, who say their educator at their school told them, don't apply for the FSF scholarship. You're not going to win it.
Like, wow.
Don't consider this a way forward. Virgil had a teacher who, when Virgil stood up, said to the class, I just want everyone to know, not everybody in this room is going to become an architect. And that was directed to him. In not so subtle a way, but I think there are so many moments where our students hear or get signals that aren't welcoming ones.
Yeah.
And I think that's the work we're trying to do. And that's what Virgil really wanted to do very prescriptively with a certain kind of talented student and fund that student's scholarship, become that student's mentor. And Virgil really was, every year that he was with us, a mentor to those students in a really meaningful way. He had virtual mentoring sessions with all of his class members. And so many times, I'm a little bit more disciplined about meeting times. And Virgil, like, this could go on as, he said, I have all the time in the world. And he just like wanted to hear from these students and give back to them. And, for them, and now kind of by his example, he opened the door in a way where people started to think like, I think maybe I could do this. It's not so aspirational. It's maybe attainable. And so we're taking what he started and just continuing to build on that. And, I think you and I talked about this. He had a sneaker sale, or there was a sneaker sale after he had passed away, that was wildly successful, 200 pairs of Vuitton Air Force Ones. And with the proceeds of that auction, we're now able to do in his name even more sooner, which is really exciting. So it's about really being socially impactful at a time when, Lord knows, our world needs people to be socially impactful.
Definitely. But what an impact he has made and will continue to make. And I love that idea of, he was a mentor to those students and continues to be a mentor. And that's what this is really all about.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it is also, as I said, at its most basic level, like just seeing yourself somewhere and saying, that's what I could do, I see someone who I can relate to doing it.
Yep.
And he or she is talking to me about it. And it's as simple sometimes as, so many of our students just think they want to be a designer, or if they're not talented enough, they can't be. Like, what are the positions in this industry?
Right.
What is the scope? Can I hear from someone who's the pattern maker telling me what pattern making is, or the digital marketer telling me what it is, breaking it down for me? Because then it becomes more real for me. It becomes more real for my parents, who are a little apprehensive about what I'm suggesting I want to do. So it's really an exciting time to start to socialize the opportunities, but also to partner with companies that are very committed to finding diverse talent, but not as able to find it as easily. So that's where we kind of come in.
Well, and to that point, I was going to ask you, in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on affirmative action, what does that mean for FSF and students of color, if we're speaking of students.
I mean, Kate, it means for lots of students of color, it's just the process is going to be more challenging and less certain. And I think if you remove an indicia of admission from what schools are able to look at, it just makes that process more cumbersome. It doesn't make it impossible, but it certainly doesn't solve for the underrepresentation in colleges and universities of students of color. So what it means for us is to make sure that we do whatever we can to support the talented students that we find who represent a diverse cohort. But also what I really think it means is starting our work earlier. So we talk about a pipeline, it's really a collegiate pipeline, but we're realizing that if you don't start early enough, you're leaving students out of this funnel, they call it. So how do we make sure this funnel, this aperture is as wide as it can be? And where do we look? And Virgil was impressed with our 70 schools, but by no means was he satisfied with it. And he's like, what about the kid who isn't in college, who's just screen printing a t-shirt down at the, you know, the print store? Like, what about him? How do we help him? And so it's forced us to look at community colleges, which are historically populated with a significant percentage of underrepresented student. But I will say that that student is often very motivated, but by circumstance at a community college. So some of our corporate partners are realizing, wow, that's a pool of talent from which I could hire directly, or I could support so that they could go on to a four-year school and beyond. So we're starting, we have a kind of a pilot program that we worked on with VF that we partnered more recently with True Religion on, and soon I hope with PVH, to start to identify students at community colleges that are community colleges that have an association with a college or university that is in our network. So we can find at the community college level an educator who will say, this kid in my, who's a first year at this community college, is who you want to help. And then we work with them, we give them a scholarship, we give them a mentor, and then we bring them to New York or some other region where they have a shadowing experience. So they spend a few days just shadowing at a company, which can be a really, again, simple but powerful moment for them. So, you know, looking at community colleges, now looking at high schools, really starting as early as we can so we don't leave anybody out of this funnel and they don't get into this pipeline.
It's incredible because what you're talking about, Peter, is it's the future of fashion. And so, but finding them and supporting them and mentoring them all along the way. And, you know, I guess my question was going to be, you know, how does FSF fit into the future of the fashion industry? But I think you've explained it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're the present and I think we're the future in that there are moments in one's journey that one needs to be supported. And I think if we can be present in a really meaningful way for as long as possible, and I'd argue as early as possible, that will ensure more of the right kinds of folks getting into the industry and once they're succeeding. And so that's really our place in this process and making sure that, you know, as I said, once you land at a corporate partner, that you stay there, you thrive there, you rise. One of my challenges is great to see talent of color in creative positions, creative directors, brands, but I do not see a lot of talent of color in the boardroom, in the C-suite.
Yeah.
If you're really going to affect systemic change, you need to make sure that that happens. And so that's kind of also the work that we do to facilitate that kind of change. That's truly when people talk about systemic change, that then affects systemic change.
Okay. So that brings me to a great question, because then in terms of other than
finding one more glass of rosé, can I pour you one?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Perfect timing. Thanks for the rosé. Other than financial support, what can people do to support FSF? Because I think
sorry, Kate, I'm jumping right in because I think it's the human talent dimension of this. So yes, it's fantastic. We would not exist without the funding that we receive, but it really is the mentoring that our corporate partners provide in the way of employees that are committed to our work that want to work with young talent. And it is then the opportunities that these partners of ours can create. And it's maybe not an internship, maybe it's a project. We work with Milk Makeup. Their project is 10 selected scholars get to pitch to solve for the marketing of a new product that they want to focus on a Gen Z audience. So like for those kids, that experience of pitching a marketing plan,
so cool. You know,
it's great. It's on the resume. It changes the way they look at the beauty industry. So it's really working with partners who have the financial commitment, but also just the philosophical appreciation of what they also might bring to the table in the way of opportunities and mentoring and human capital as it works more closely with these kids. So it's really, we say it starts with a scholarship because that's our point of entry.
Right.
But there's so many other deliverables that we promise these kids that make all the difference in the world. So
truly,
that's what I ask of our corporate partners is they consider like, how can they creatively work to bring these students into a corporate partner and pair them with folks that will become their supporters. And as I said, sponsors, advocates, champions.
Well, and I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is there's so much opportunity for those corporate sponsors. You know, they almost take it for granted that they have this, you know, behemoth of an organization and how much good they can do for these emerging talents. And
yeah. I'm sometimes challenged, especially now, of course, post George Floyd, a lot of companies as more of a marketing commitment have said, let's throw some money at this thing for a year or two. Like this thing isn't going away.
Right.
So it really is the company that appreciates what it means to find and develop talent that is the best partner. And it's from those companies that we get incredible mentors.
Yeah.
We get really interesting ideas of creating projects or, as I said, shadowing moments or internships. You know, that's what's going to make a difference to these kids. As I
Absolutely.
Said, when I talked about the CFG Vogue Fashion Fund, yes, the money's amazing, but it really is the other aspect of this. It's the relationship. It's the sense that you've got a supporter and someone nurturing you that is going to make the difference in your career.
And that's long-term. To your point, it's not just
a long game.
Flash.
And that, that's my frustration with a few folks out there. They're like, I think we've solved for this issue and let's move on to another cause. It's like, whoa. It really is a long game, Kate. You're not going to change the complexion of our industry unless you're really committed to doing this for a long time.
And that's it. And that is incredible because, again, that brings us full circle to your commitment, Peter, and I'm proud of what you're doing and I'm proud to be your friend because I've seen and witnessed your non-linear career to take you to where you are to truly
non-linear, I'm deciding.
But it has made such a difference in so many designers and careers in the fashion industry. And I think what, you know, the future of the fashion industry is really bright and the Fashion Scholarship Fund is making that possible. So I think for our listeners out there, for our corporate sponsors, for brands, you know, to your point, not just in the creative director position, but in the C-suite, there's so much opportunity to really the long game of these young talents who need that shepherding. So my hope is our listeners, you know, will reach out and you know, partner in different ways and know that the opportunity is there. And I guess on our last note, because my rosé is almost at the end here.
What a surprise, Kate.
We could go on and on.
It's hot, you're thirsty.
Yeah, exactly. Get us another bottle. But I guess the last thing would be, because this probably comes to awareness and, you know, my background in terms of marketing, communications, and raising awareness. You know, tell us one thing about the FSF that most people don't know, but should.
Oh gosh. I mean, I think the breadth of what we do and the scale with which we do it is something that I think more people need to appreciate. And so this isn't just a scholarship that is awarding design students at select fashion schools with a scholarship only. You know, this is on a really compelling scale, an effort by this organization to connect with young talent wherever it may be in the most disparate place. And it is very successfully, I'd suggest, a means by which if we find him or her, we can make a big difference in that trajectory, that journey, and a really powerful one through not just the scholarship, but all these other dimensions of support that most folks out there who are administering scholarship programs don't provide. So right. it's something I feel like, and I've said this too many times, we're Switzerland. I want as many talented students to make their way into the industry. And if we can support them, terrific. But I think the thing that folks don't sometimes appreciate is like, yeah, we can find these kids at a time when people are looking, but don't know where to begin. We are on the ground at 70 schools working with educators who in turn say, I want you to be John. You know, there's something, there's a spark, there's an interest, there's a passion. So like that is a very nuanced, thoughtful way of looking at talent acquisition
yep.
that I think folks could benefit from appreciating as it relates to how they could use us.
Yep.
So
that's great. I mean, it's so inspiring. And I love how you've encapsulated this to say, you know, talent acquisition as well as opportunity and mentorship. I mean, there's nothing better. Truly, there's nothing better. And this is, you know, as you said, a very supportive industry that we're in. But coming together to be able to do it in this way is really impactful and beautiful.
No, I agree, Kate. It's a very well-intentioned industry. And I just think we as an organization offer the means by which one can deliver on the promise of their intention. So that's what gets me up in the morning and excited about the work we do. So thanks for the opportunity of sharing a little bit of that.
Well, thanks for the glass of rosé virtually. And thanks for sharing your passion. And again, it's so fun. So we'll continue this conversation offline in person at a lunch soon. But in the meantime, Peter Arnold, my dear, dear friend, thank you. I send you big hugs and kisses and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. I'm grateful to you forever.
Grateful to you.
If you want to learn a little bit more about Traub, you can go to traub.io where you'll learn a lot about everything that we do. If you're enjoying the safari, please do share it with your friends and colleagues within the industry. And please also don't forget to subscribe and like it. Until next time.